Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Check us out on the YouTube stream at the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can check us out on Monumental Sports Network if you're watching on TV. And we're chilling on Team 980 right now, too. She's running a bit late. Should be on soon.
Stomping grounds.
Yeah, man. I don't believe... People make these like grand proclamations, right? Yep. I do not believe that DQ has lost the locker room. I don't believe you're going to get these fractures. He was asked about that yesterday about, you know, could things fracture? And he said, I don't believe that. I think, you know, my theory with coaches, there's the strategy scheme guys. There's the people locker room guys. There's the management stooge guys. Mm-hmm. Typically, NFL coaches fall into one of those categories. I think DQ very much is the people locker room type of dude.
Yeah, people believe in him.
Yeah. That said, though, some of the stuff that happened yesterday really reflective of a lack of discipline and a lack of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Deron Payne gets ejected, and Von Miller after the game is like, "That really hurt us. He's probably our best player." We're trying to track down the video of what happened that got him so pissed off. Clearly, he thought something was beyond what should happen. Amon-Ra St. Brown strikes me as a pot stirrer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Garofolo.
But still, you can't allow that to harm you.
Totally.
I was very keen on saying things very, very intently that I know would affect the person. If you threw a punch, I was happy. I was just always waiting for that punch because you don't want to get caught with one and be asleep. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about players, you have to understand, the person on that field yapping about family, whatever, and I know there'll be a lot of people, man, you talk about my family. Hey, when it costs you money and it costs your team, you can't do it. I think Deron was wrong for throwing the punch to get himself thrown out the game. There's nothing that should make you throw a punch, especially when the guy got a helmet on. But it's no need to people to come back and then start throwing little hurls at him, being personal. One thing you said about me, I've been honest. I'll criticize people, but I don't get personal with it. I don't care about anything else. I'm not going to name call people, anything like that. But if you play bad, I'll say you play bad. If you're not doing good, I'm going to say you're not doing good. No need for the names.
Yeah, I think, so my concern is guys are clearly frustrated. The defense knows whether they're underperforming or this is just as good as they're able to perform, they're getting their ass kicked, so they're pissed off.
Royally.
Payne gets ejected. Payne has now been suspended for the Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have Duran next week in Madrid.
Yeah.
I mean, add that to the list of play. I don't think you're going to have Trey Amos for that game. He was out yesterday with the ankle. I mean, just the list of injuries is significant. Like, you can't discount that when we talk about the layers to these poor performances. But to not have Duran next week is a very big blow. Kinlaw gets into it with the ref, and I understand he's sticking up for his teammate, but at the same time, you're taking penalties. I won't be shocked if Javon gets fined because he did make contact with a referee. Maybe it was inadvertent, but it was contact with a ref. Mm-hmm. They tend to be pretty vigilant on those things.
Yeah.
Quan Martin, who's generally a pretty level-headed guy, we've seen Payne run hot. Remember the scene in Dallas with him and John Allen swinging on each other on the sideline? Mm-hmm. Shout out to the heated benches. Kinlaw seems like a fiery personality. Quan tends to be a pretty
even keel,
level-headed dude.
Yeah.
He gets a penalty last night. Like, when you start tracking things that point to coaching, discipline, poise in the moment, but none of that's the one that pissed me off the most.
Mm-hmm.
What pissed me off the most from a lack of discipline coaching, they burn timeouts like Jeff burns blunts. Like, they just burn timeouts all the time. That's just how we're operating, right?
Mm-hmm.
You burn timeouts early in the first, early in the third. It's a timeout fest. Nobody's worried about it. That I've gotten used to. Brian, in your life, you played 14 years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
4 years of college, high school. Could you ever imagine taking a delay of game on an extra point?
Nah, I've never seen that one.
What the actual? How does, maybe you're debating going for two or not?
What? I don't know how that would happen.
You get extra time after a score because they let the guys dance around and run around.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does that happen?
I don't know how that happened. That I don't know. I don't understand that one. But I'm not getting hot today, Jay. I'm gonna let y'all
know. I don't know how.
I don't get hot because, listen, when it's things to a point where I'm just lost, I'm dumbfounded about some things, and I can't correct them. So I'm not gonna sit up and get overly angst about it. Gotta check out for a bit.
I hear you. Just that one to me. How does that happen? Not to mention, like, if it is a debate, if you're going for two or not, C-Rod scored from the one.
Mm-hmm.
You had a pretty good idea you were going to get a score. You had a pretty good idea of what you were going to do. It was first to goal from the six. It wasn't like this was some crazy 85-yard touchdown that caught him by surprise. It's first to goal from the six.
Yeah. I have to look back at it and see.
You sound like a coach now. I mean, for me, a delay of game in the second quarter on an extra point, what is happening?
I don't understand that one.
And dude, it's such a minor thing. Like I am squabbling about, you know, like on my expense reports, dealing with these expense reports, right? I had a $2,000 expense report from L.A., just because the flight's expensive, the hotels are expensive, L.A.'s freaking expensive. Yeah. I'm fighting back and forth. Now, I'm fighting with a robot. It's AI that I'm arguing with. Because my
how do they want you to think? It's a human behind that AI.
It might be. I'm fighting with a robot and or a human on an expense, on a $2,000 expense report, literally over $1. My itemizations for my hotel. I didn't stay at a fancy hotel. I stayed at a regular Marriott. It was fine. It was nice. But, like, this wasn't the Ritz. This wasn't nothing. $1 difference on my itemization. $1 mm-hmm. is the fight. We're going back and forth for 3 days on a $2,000 expense report. That is the equivalent of me screaming about this extra point in a game where you get your ass kicked. But sometimes the little things add up and matter.
Yeah.
Because it is obvious. Like, to your point, you don't need the numbers. If you watched last night, you don't need me to break down significant empirical data that shows how bad their defense was. Because just watching it told you that story.
Yeah, totally.
But the little things add up, too.
Yeah.
It's,
but see,
they're not doing the big things right.
They are doing the big things right, but the thing of it is this. I would not sit here and say DQ is not a disciplined coach and not a good coach. I would never, ever get to that point. But there are times, there's certain situations in games where it ain't always on the coach being disciplined or not. It's whether or not the players are disciplined.
Totally.
Okay? And then in this day and age, there are some of these refs where when that ball is set, that clock is wine. And sometimes, and they, like you said, they let people dance around. There are other crews that when you dancing around, they place that damn ball down there. And they get that clock winding. So instead of you coming back and, oh, now it's 28 seconds. No, it's 8 seconds. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it that could be something like that. But the whole thing about it is, listen, man, we had, I think that all the problems go back to one thing. And it's for everybody. We all got ahead of ourselves after last year. And at this point, there's a time where we got to do the Peyton Manning, check the pancakes.
But so I hear that, and if that's like a fan perspective thing, that's
it's
great.
It's not a fan. It's fan. It's coaches. It's front office. It's players. It's media. Everybody got ahead of ourselves.
But the.
Because the fans
and the media don't miss tackles or
the fans
take
and the media
penalties.
Don't miss tackles, but still, this thing is about building something to where when you start getting these injuries, you can sustain it. They didn't build anything. They just say, "Oh, we're in the NFC Championship game. Oh, let's try to go back again." And that's what everybody wanted them to do. So yes, all of us will be doing revisionist history at this point. But the ultimate thing is, this team is nowhere close to being built to sustain injuries. And to go out there and compete completely with all the better teams.
I mean, Marcus Mariota was really good last night. He's like, oh, we're not who we think we are. And that to me is a problem in mid-November of the second year of this organization. Dan Quinn earlier in the week got asked, you know, you famously said this wasn't a rebuild, it was a recalibration. Like,
yeah, I mean,
where is this thing now?
But that's this world today. We're going to always use somebody's words against them. And I guarantee you, the same person that asked him that damn question probably made some proclamation of how great the team was last year. If somebody come and ask them that today, they can't live up to that either. The whole thing about it is, yes, we all wanted them to run after this thing because we were so close last year. But you know what? Like I said before, if you build a house on a shaky foundation, that SOB is going to fall eventually.
But
and this is a shaky foundation with this team has right now.
I totally agree. I think one thing I am starting to get done with is blaming the shaky foundation on what they inherited. Like, we're 2 years into this thing now.
No, it ain't what you inherited.
Two draft classes.
You could have gone and got more, but they tried to go and do exactly what everybody wanted them to do. And that's where they messed up, by not being steadfast in their plan and getting swayed because the excitement was go for it. They went for it. And they found out it ain't working.
John Jansen joins the show at 1 o'clock. We're going to open the phone lines up in about an hour. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Jay-Z had 99 problems, but you know what wasn't one. Now, our guy, Professor Landini, has 44 problems with the Commanders. 44 problems in honor of them giving up 44 points way too frequently. Professor, take it away.
All right, yes. So by popular demand, I have created a list, 44 problems with the team in honor of them giving up 44 points on defense, and also because 44 is apparently what can fit on one page on Google Docs. So that works too. Number one, the quarterback is hurt.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's
problem. That lands at number one. That's rightfully the number one problem.
Yeah.
And Marcus has been good, but Jaden is a different cat.
Yeah, clearly better. Number two, They had a soft training camp.
All right.
Seemed like it.
Number three, they can't tackle.
It's been a problem.
Number four, they can't cover.
It's been a problem.
Well, that makes a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Number five, they can't pressure the quarterback.
Those three together are horrible.
And number six, they can't stop the run.
I mean, when you add those factors up, you get a defense that
you get a big factor.
Hasn't nobody has done what they've done in the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, the kicker sucks.
Does he suck?
Yes. He can't hit field goals over 50 yards, dude. This ain't the 80s. You're expected to do that these days.
I am curious, and I bet Greg might even like know this number and text in as soon as he hears us say this. When Mark Moseley won the MVP award, how many over 50 kicks do you think he made?
Moseley over 50. One or two.
Dude, what's funny is when you tell like young people, like if Ben Strober might know it because he's like a just super sports nut, but I'm like younger Jeff, like when Jeff first started working with us, I bet Jeff didn't realize Mark Moseley was a kicker and won MVP of the NFL.
The only kicker.
It's crazy.
You remember I asked who?
And he kicked straight on, Jeff. He didn't kick soccer style.
Jeff didn't know who Mark Moseley was after he had met Mark Mosley's son.
Wow.
Mark Moseley Jr.
He kicked with a square toe shoe that was kind of turned up at the front, straight on.
He's funny as hell, though, and got killer hair.
I know who he is now.
Hair
is
never out of place.
His longest field goal that season was 48 yards.
Yeah.
Wow. He never hit one over 50.
Wow. He didn't try one
Chip,
over 50.
Chip Lowmiller, we beat the Vikings 15-13, I think, and he kicked five field goals. I think all of them over 50 yards.
That's crazy. All right, Landfill, sorry, we stopped you.
Number eight, the wide receivers keep getting hurt.
That's a problem.
Number nine, when the wide receivers aren't hurt, they keep dropping passes. Number 10, the first-round pick is on the struggle bus. Number 11.
I don't know the Connerly. It's your list.
Struggle bus. Number 11.
It's your list.
They can't run the ball with the running backs. Number 12, they couldn't run the ball with the running backs last year either. Number 13, the quarterback running the ball is the only way to get offense, which leads to the quarterback getting hurt.
It is the only run game they have is quarterback run, mm-hmm. and that's troubling.
Number 14, ugly uniforms.
Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl era looked good.
Yeah, they only wore those once. They played nine other games, and those uniforms suck. And because they wore the Super Bowl era ones, we can all admit now that these uniforms suck, and they're clearly bad.
I think they're going back to them.
Well, hurry up. Number 15, they can't generate turnovers on defense.
It is remarkable how bad they are at turning people over. For a staff that preaches ball is life, they're just not getting.
Ball is life, but it's a you have to do something in a certain sequence. Can't just go for the ball. You got to go for the person, then go for the ball.
Right. And I think the lack of interceptions is pretty indicative in the they're giving up huge chunk plays where dudes are wide open. Like you gotta be close to the ball to pick it off. Totally. And then no pass rush, you're not generating fumbles from the quarterbacks. That's a good one, Lamphill. They are 30th in the NFL at creating turnovers.
Not great. We only have one good player from the Rivera era drafts.
Who is that at this point? Cosme?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yeah.
Man.
Not great.
What number are we at?
We're at 16. That was 16. Number 17 is that we traded all of our picks for old vets.
I don't know about all, but they did trade.
Traded a lot of picks.
The Lattimore trade, flop. The Tunsil trade is good, and I'd be stunned if they don't get a contract with him, and he's not kind of the long-term answer. The Debo for a fifth, I'm pretty cool with that one.
Yeah. I am.
I'd actually maybe even say that the best wide receiver is a free agent at the end of the year.
Debo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, could certainly, I don't know that you could pay Debo. Because you're going to have to pay Tunsil a lot.
Yeah.
And then I think you got to spend some real money to get blue chip players.
Yeah. And they got, and the thing about it, it's not just one or two positions.
Right.
It's a lot of positions they have to go after.
What number we at, Landfill?
Number 19 is next, and it's the best defensive player got suspended for punching a dude.
That specific to this week stings.
Right.
All right. If you just got in your car, Landfill's running through his list of 44 problems with the Washington Commanders, 44 in honor of the amount of points they gave up last week, or the fact that that's as far as a Google Drive sheet will take you. Is that right, Landy?
Yes, that is correct.
And we're now on number 20.
Number 20 is dumb mascot.
Yo, left hand up. I like Major Tutty.
Me too.
Tutty gets grief.
I do too.
I'm not mad at Tutty.
Tutty wasn't the best out there.
I'm angry at Tutty.
I'm saying he can dance. He can do a little different tricks. I'm not just saying just because of the mascot. I don't go crazy over a mascot that just walk out there.
I need Tutty to take some accountability.
And he's just the mascot. Tutty ain't got nothing to do with it.
What would Tutty's accountability look like? What would you like to see or hear from Tutty, Landfill?
I'd like an apple in his mouth and him getting roasted over a spit.
I think you can't say he's not. I like Tutty. He's got some time before he's one of the best just because it's still so new and so fresh.
Just saying,
the Chief in the Wolf joint, that dude's good.
He's very interactive. He does different things.
He's got his own Twitter
account.
That's
what I'm cool with, you know. Some of them just go out there and just stand up.
I'm pro Tutty. All right, Landy, what else?
I saw the Raven dude the other day.
Poe
was Poe.
Injuries have decimated the roster and derailed the season.
Yeah.
Number 22, they keep getting embarrassed in primetime games.
The primetime thing has been a problem.
This year.
Yeah.
Number 23, the punter is a top five player on the roster.
Yeah, we've been saying that's a problem.
Dress been a top five player for them for years.
Yeah, but when your best player is your punter.
Who's the Chiefs punter? Nobody knows. It's because they're a good team. They just win.
Dude, nobody knew the Lions punter last week because he never got on the field.
Never.
Maybe he's the holder on extra points.
Speaking of the Lions, opposing fans took over our stadium.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
They were chanting Jared Goff, and you could hear it on TV.
I look up there and saw all that blue. I was a little upset.
There was a Let's Go Lions chant an hour before kickoff.
Not great.
Now, I did see somewhere online that apparently Lions fans pick one game a year to go take over, and they picked this one. I mean, the reasons behind that are pretty obvious why, because of the playoff loss.
They were very, very gangster then when they knew everybody was hurt.
Professor?
They lost 44-22 for the second time this season.
That is weird. Like, beyond the BTA-ness of it all, just to have that exact score twice is odd.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be odd if they lost twice this year 20-17 or 30-14, but 44-22 is a bit of an odd number. 22 is a little bit of a weird one.
It is.
Landfill doesn't miss with these lists.
They lost by 21 points in four straight games, and that's the first team to do that in 20 years.
That one stings.
Can't even argue about that.
That one.
Multiple teams lost every game they played in that stretch of time. Multiple teams did that, and they weren't getting blown out as badly as we have.
Mm.
Yeah, it's bad. Things are bad. How many more of these you got? I'm guessing you want me to break.
Yeah, probably.
How many more do we have? 15?
I'm not great at math, but I think we have 18.
Landfill's 44 problems with the Commanders list continues. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. You're watching B. Mitch and Finley. You're streaming B. Mitch and Finley. Nobody go anywhere. It is B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
JP Finley here. You've heard me talking about the water damage at the house and how it took out our appliances. Well, the folks at Better Services came through and hooked me up. Got all new appliances. It looks great. I posted a photo on my Facebook page if you want to check that out, just how good these new KitchenAid appliances we got look. They match the dishwasher that Better hooked us up with. Here's the thing with Better. Keep this in mind, man. They can do whatever you need, and you got to make sure your appliances are ready to rock with Thanksgiving and then Christmas coming. You're going to have a whole bunch of people at the house. You better be sure your oven gets hot, your microwave can do its job, and that fridge stays cold. But appliances aren't all Better Services could do. Say you're thinking about a bathroom renovation, call Better. Say you maybe want to gut your kitchen, call Better. Maybe you just got some smaller work, some handyman stuff around the house, call Better. Better Services is located in Kensington. They've got a great showroom, so you can go check out some appliances. They can get you next day or even same day delivery. Better does it all. That's B-E-T-T-A-R, betterservices.com. You better get better. I'm the problem, it's me. Time, everybody agrees. Speaking of the problem, Washington's got 44 of them, according to Jim Andrew Mullins VI. Professor Landini is what we call him. He's got a PhD in BSology. He's compiled his list. We're through 18 of your problems for the Commanders, Landfill. Is that accurate?
No, we made it through 26.
Okay. Yeah. We have 18 remaining.
I believe that's the math.
But the synapses aren't firing fully.
I'm not good at math, so.
That makes two of us.
All right.
Brian is good at math, yeah. but what do we got? We got like 60% of your brain working right now, you think?
Nah, all of it working. Just that it's all tired.
All right, good, Professor. Though. Fire away.
All right, 27 is maybe we really were just lucky last year.
They did get some breaks, and the breaks have not come this year.
Mm-hmm. 28. Adam Rank is our daddy.
No, Adam Rank is Jeff's dad.
No, he is not, and we will not give him that type of satisfaction on this radio show.
Weren't you supposed to, like, send him a bobblehead or wear a Bears jersey or something?
JP, I don't own no Bears jerseys.
Well, I don't either. Didn't you make a bet with him that you clearly haven't paid off?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We can check the audio, Jeff.
Matter of fact, JP, go find the audio.
He probably erased that audio.
Jeff, let me be clear. I'm not going to. Professor.
29 is we're going to have to listen to Jeff make emo songs for the rest of the season.
Jeff, how far away are you from like getting out a guitar and painting your eyelashes sadness type of music?
I'm one loss away from singing. Like completely
Please
singing.
Please don't sing, dog.
Like
Seriously.
Luther Vandross.
Give us something real quick, Jeff. Give us a taste of some Luther.
Jeff can't sing.
All right, I'm going to give you some Teddy. That's what people say I sound like. It feels good loving somebody when somebody loves you back.
It's bad,
but you
got
to pay for the rest.
Don't worry. I will not.
I will not pay for the rest.
Beavis just paid for some ham potato chips. They really like ham over here.
It's a bleak future we have.
Show that to the stream? My bad.
Yeah, shout out to Ham Potato Chips.
Number 30 is they're going to ruin Christmas with an inevitable loss to the Cowboys.
Dog, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. If you just accept it now, it'll be easier. Number 31.
Dallas appears to be a bad matchup based on the results we saw in Dallas, you know, a month ago.
They need about 8 new starters.
On which side of the ball?
I was thinking defense.
They won't be getting them this year, Landfill.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. It's week 11, and they've lost a lot of guys. You're right about that.
Number 32, they've played one good half out of the last 10.
Ooh, the last 10? I got to check. I got to at least
five
check
games.
You on that one. Ooh.
He right?
I thought he meant the last 10 games.
But no, he said last half of the last 10.
That first half against the Chiefs was good. Everything else has been bad.
Doug, you could argue they've only played 2 good halves out of the last 14. They were the best football they played was the second half against LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chicago, it was ugly. They were kind of in position to win, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Damn, Lamphill cuts like a knife.
It's not great. Sandra still is having a sophomore slump. That's number 33, clearly.
It hasn't been good.
Nah.
Number 34. Beer at the stadium is expensive, and so fans can't even drink the sadness away.
They figure out a way, Lamphill. As
always.
You know, I am at that stadium. There's plenty of beer
plenty
consumed.
Plenty of drunk people.
Yeah. I mean, that one dude was drunk enough to try to run out on the field. People are still getting drunk, Lamphill.
Traffic is terrible on game days.
Traffic is terrible on game days, but I think a bigger culprit, and this is not Northwest Stadium's fault, the Beltway freaking sucks.
Yeah.
I think the Beltway is, listen, anytime, any stadium, if you have everybody stay till the end, and then you've got however many people that fits now, 70,000, say that equals 30,000 cars, and 30,000 cars want to get out at the same time, it's going to back up.
Yeah. But it's amazing how stadiums that hold more people is not that bad coming
out.
Yeah.
They also do it poorly.
Right where they are, it's just where that stadium is, just it's hard to get out.
Totally. It really does help, though, as far as the traffic getting in for a 1 o'clock game is tough because you got the Drew Cohens of the world, the crazies that still get there at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of people are getting there between noon and 1.
For the most part.
And that just makes it tough. When you get these later starts, the 4:30, the 8:30, traffic getting in is way easier. All right, Lamphill, please.
They got number 36. They got to delay a game on an extra point.
That is,
yeah,
that is terrible, terrible, terrible.
Relatedly, number 37, they just get a bunch of penalties overall.
That point?
Yeah, It's been bad.
Yeah, you got to correct that.
Number 38, even when they were playing kind of well at the beginning of the season, they were starting slow in every game.
Yep.
The slow starts.
That's like pulling the scab off right there.
Number 39, poor depth everywhere, really, except for maybe quarterback. I think they're solid at quarterback. Backup.
Depth has been exposed, wide receiver depth particularly. How about Treylon Burks? I wanted to be a one-man band for Treylon Burks. Like, yo, this is a great opportunity. He's landed in a good spot, and he had to get surgery on his finger.
Yeah. Ligament damage.
Number 40, too many big plays allowed.
With a bullet.
That could have been in the top five last year.
Yeah, dude. I mean, hell yeah. That's correct.
Number 41, Tunsil and Tress are the only high-end talents.
Tunsil and Tress, as far as dudes playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Number 42, the Peters-era draft picks are a mixed bag.
That, Lamphill, is far more fair than I expected you to be on that topic. So I agree with you. Mixed bag is fair.
Number 43, they're giving up 35.8 points per game over the last five games.
Give me that number again.
35.8 over the last five games.
Three touchdowns and the field goal can't be dead.
Sorry, Coach Gibbs. You're going to have to dial it up. Damn, that's bad.
And lastly, and I think this is arguably the most important one, the alumni are still not doing enough to help the team win.
Damn it, Brian.
Landfill, you got to take that off. That's garbage. The alumni has nothing to do with it. If that's the case, producers that work from 10 to 2 on the B. Mitchell Finley show are causing the team to lose.
I agree. Jeff is the problem. Let's get rid of him.
Serious question, B. Who's more to blame, the alumni or Major Tutty?
You said a serious question before you asked that.
Yeah.
That's not a serious question.
Landfill, who's more to blame, the alumni or Major Tutty?
It's close because, I mean, they both deserve so much.
I mean, expectations for the alumni and Major Tutty are so significant that B's just slamming him own chips. Nobody go anywhere.
Yo, you're number one. Super Bowl ring. What fingers on?
Washington has 44 problems documented. If you want to pick nits, maybe you can get that list down to 40. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
All right, folks. Check out my Twitter account. We finally found video of Amon-Ra St. Brown swinging on Daron Payne before Daron Payne punched back. Yeah.
Okay.
So that tells the other side of the story. There is a ref right there. Certainly seems like Javon Kinlaw was telling the truth. The question right now, though, as you know, that doesn't really matter. Payne's suspension was upheld. He's not going to Madrid. But at least, you know, there's some validity to what the Commanders were saying. What I want to ask right now, and I want to open the phones, and I want to start with you, Zabe. Dan Quinn is now taking over defensive coordinator duties, calling the D, right? What, if any, impact does that make, and what does Sunday need to look like for that to be a success?
Well, if they win, that's great. And if they hold the Dolphins to under 400 yards... it's a very low bar right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, it could possibly work. Look, you're at the stage of we're throwing the empty gun at the enemy because you got nothing else. It probably won't work, but maybe there's something. Maybe there's a tweak. Maybe there's moving one guy to a slightly different role on the defense that actually helps make a positive impact. I'm not smart enough football-wise just sitting on the couch picking out Cheetos for my belly button to know what that would be, but they're the ones who are the football men, so maybe there's something there. It can't hurt. It's low cost, no cost, really, and you save Joe Witt's job at least for another week.
Let's ask the same question to these callers, shall we? Marcus is in Brandywine. Marcus, Dan Quinn's your D coordinator now. What difference is it going to make?
I don't think it makes a huge difference. I mean, I coach football, but I'm not nearly as geniuses as they are. So if I see more pressure, I can realize, you know, recognize that. I mean, and if that, you know, causes Tua to turn the ball over, and then ultimately we win the game, then I say it's a success. But, I mean, even if we hold them to a certain amount of points, but I don't see pressure, I would just chalk that up to just the defense having a good day as opposed to it really making a difference that Dan Quinn's taking over play calling.
All right. I do think – thank you for the call, Marcus. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I do wonder if the players just respond because it's not Witt and it is DQ, and maybe things have grown stagnant with Witt. I do wonder if there was some questions. I think some of the DBs might have wondered if the coverages were right, if they were getting enough pressure up front, and if some of that stuff kind of comes home.
I think there is a real effect when a coach, a assistant coach or coordinator gets fired, especially if he's a liked coach, that the players, at least for a week, are probably going to step it up because there is that shock of, oh, man, Witt got whacked. We got to step it up. We got to play better. You know, it's that shock factor. It's sort of like, you know, taking one hostage and saying, okay, everyone paying attention? It's brutal, but that's kind of, I think that's a human normal dynamic to at least feel like we've got to play better, at least for the short term. There could be more effort that could be given. I know this. It's hilarious that, you know, Luvu wins his appeal, which nobody ever wins, and then he makes the most business decision on Panay Sewell ever and gets swept out to sea. So it's like, you're going to win the appeal, and then, I mean, that's brutal. You got to eat a 300-pounder coming at you downhill.
Right.
That's what they pay you to do. You have to eat that hit to at least keep the play from going to the house.
Let's keep the phones going. Cairo is in Ashburn. Cairo, what difference is it going to make, dude?
Hey, I think it's going to make a decent amount of difference. I think, you know, just based on what I've seen of, like, locker room videos, they seem to respond better to Dan Quinn. Like, I never really see them celebrating with Joe Witt. Like, maybe one video I saw of it. But again, like, all of that.
Well,
you know,
the videos on the sideline, Witt's also got to come down from the booth. So it's a little,
yeah,
like,
no,
DQ's,
I just meant,
there,
like, the locker room celebrations and stuff like that from, like, post games, you know? Unless, yeah, that's what you meant.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I do think they love DQ. So,
yeah.
We'll see how this thing shakes out. Thanks for the call, bro.
No problem, man. Stay safe.
My fourth grader always says that to me. Stay safe, Daddy. Promise me you'll be safe.
Aww.
It's incredibly sweet, but sometimes she says it when I'm, like, walking to the basement. Like, I'm going to be all right, babe. Thank you.
Is that the Coligard commercial?
Yeah.
I'll be back. I'm only going to the porch.
Elijah's in D.C. Eli, what difference are we looking at?
I'm. What's up, man? Thanks for taking my call, JP. I'm looking at a difference to see if they can give me what they look like at the first half of the Chiefs game, because he's a player's coach, and if he can get his guys locked in, I think they will perform better. I have a question, and even when you cut me loose, if you could, you know, some type of answer of, like, I've been trying to figure out what kind of coach Dan Quinn is so far. Is he a transition coach? Is he a foundational coach? Or is he a coach that's going to put you over the top? And I think fans need to kind of think about that a little bit. Is he the guy that's going to put us over the top? Is he going to get us together so we have a chance? Because certain coaches are better when you're together, and certain coaches are better at putting pieces together. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, even in Atlanta, look, we have to compare the rosters. I've been looking at he had Julio. He had some guys in place. I'm trying to figure out, when we're evaluating Dan Quinn, like, look at the roster. What are we actually asking? What can he actually do physically with the squad that he has? And what kind of coach is he? So maybe he's a put-you-over-the-edge coach. But for me right now, he's a transition and a foundational coach. I think having a new GM, all of these things, I think he was the best guy for that. However, at what point will we entertain the idea, maybe not now, that is he going to be the guy that's going to put us over the edge? That's all I got to say.
It's an interesting question. I don't think we're going to find that out for a little while. I don't think DQ is in any sort of jeopardy of, like, losing his gig or anything.
No.
I think Harris is a patient dude that wants things built the right way for the long haul. Thanks for the call, Eli. Now, dude, if you finish a year by losing 12 in a row, changes everything. I don't think that will happen. The NFL is a crazy league. If you truly bottom out and go 3-14, I don't know. But I don't think that happens.
You sure?
it's hard to be sure of anything. Do you think they'll finish the year losing 12 in a row?
I think there's a genuine risk of that. I noticed the NFL teams luck into wins, and some of the teams that are still coming up have problems of their own, like the Giants. I'm just looking at how depleted this team is. I'm just looking at how non-functional the defense is. This is an open, severed leg that is bleeding out right now.
That's a fair point.
The likes of which I can't ever remember. So I hope it doesn't happen, but at most you're going to win two more. Like that to me. So let's go this way.
I agree with you. Like I don't most think they're going to run the table and make it interesting, right? Like I'm not expecting any of that.
They could beat the Dolphins. They could beat the Giants and probably maybe either or Broncos or Cowboys. They're probably going to lose at the Vikings, probably going to lose at the Giants, probably going to lose at the Eagles and to the Eagles at home. They got two against them. So, you know, couple three. I think you do need to show that you're not just going to lie down and die.
Agreed.
That needs to be shown from a culture standpoint, from an organization standpoint, meaning the players do respond up the food chain to Quinn, to Peters, and to the new ownership. We're not just going to go, oh, season's over, we're not going to play.
Right.
You know, there are livelihoods on the line here for a lot of guys that are going to be dependent on being functional as a team from now until week 18.
I totally agree with that. And I think one thing you get in a veteran like DQ is he will coach them hard till the end. Like, this is not going to be – I don't think he loses the locker room. The injuries, though
– it's not going to be Spurrier,
no,
in other words.
No, he's not
– Spurrier was a joke.
DQ doesn't play golf. That one thing I always loved about Doc Walker.
Doc says, I don't want to coach at golf.
I don't want my coach to golf, right? And I remember years back asking, when I used to get a weekly interview with McVay, asking Sean if he golfs. He's like, nah, man, that's for Jay. I'm just too competitive. I'd rather just be grinding. And I don't knock guys that golf, because you know who golf? Bill Belichick. Like, there are super successful guys that like golf, but I think a lot of Dan Quinn is not going to start checking out.
Yeah.
It's just not how he's wired. All right, we got. Don't take any more calls. Lock them up. I'm gonna try to get through everybody that's here. Jay is in DC. Jay, what do you got? Big difference?
Hell no, ain't no big difference.
Hell.
First of all, hey, Zay, how you doing, man? Welcome back, man.
Thank you
for finding this spot, man. It's good. I heard you a couple weeks ago. Didn't get a chance to call and say what's up, but anyway, welcome back to the area.
Good to talk to you.
To answer the question, I like the way you put it, Zay, man. We're throwing an empty gun at this point, but I'm going to take you one step further. We don't even have a gun. We're throwing bullets right now. We just picking them up and throwing handfuls of bullets.
The gun and fell in the water. We have a pocket full of 20 caliber, 22 caliber bullets.
BBs.
We're just throwing them.
It might be BBs. So I think with Daniel, we got the same player, so I don't think it's going to be too much of a difference. It's pretty much like having a frozen drink and you add some ice cubes to it. It's not going to get too much colder, so it's not going to be too much of a difference. At this point, the season's over. Will we lose out? Yes, we will lose out. We will lose out the first of these games. I don't have us winning any games. The only difference that Dan Quinn can make, the biggest difference will be the opponents we play. Will the defense that we run now be effective against their offense? That's it. Because I don't see how we're going to change anything. The players still be the same. Unless Dan Quinn is going to do something drastic, I say get the youngers out there. Let's see what we have on the roster now.
Who are the youngins?
The problem is,
Well,
Madrano
hasn't
backup. Played. Cahill's in concussion protocol, I believe. Like, defensively, you talk about youngins, there's not a lot of them. We got to keep cruising here, Jay. Thanks for the call.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Time to go down to Miami, or learn about Miami anyway. We're in Madrid, getting loose. It's high noon in the District of Columbia. It's 6 p.m. here in central Spain. You're watching us on Monumental Sports Network. You're streaming with us on the YouTube page. You're listening to us on The Fan. And we're going to learn about these Dolphins. Talking to Travis Wingfield. You can give him a follow at Wingfield NFL, host of the Drive Time podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins media site. Travis, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Not too bad, guys. I didn't make the trip to Spain myself, but we have a low humidity standpoint right now in South Florida. So the weather here, I'm hearing it's great over there, but it's been great in South Florida so far. How's it out there for you guys?
It's honestly good. Not that great. I mean, it's been raining and cold.
It rained last night a little bit. Last night was like the worst.
Not, you know, there was one rant when I went up to do that flag football thing. There was a 10-minute downpour with
today?
all the kids.
I see no
out
rain
there.
Today where I was.
Dude, it poured for like 10 minutes. Anyway.
JP has a black cloud following him.
Dude, so get us up to speed on the Dolphins. Obviously coming off this big-time win over the Bills, but in their last four, they're 2-2. You beat the Bills, beat the Falcons, and then get throttled by two awful teams. What is this Dolphins team?
It's a great question. I think we're trying to figure that out ourselves down here right now, and it's kind of akin to what we saw last year when the first part of the season didn't go the way that I think folks had thought, and that was because of the injury to the quarterback, and they were just not competitive, you know, absent Tua Tagovailoa. But this year they've had Tua, and Tua's kind of regressed in his production and his play this year, throwing the most picks in the league and just not having the same fastball over the middle of the field that he has for really the entirety of his career. But we're starting to see that kind of come back into the fray a little bit here with a balance of the running game kind of working. They've been a little bit more of a gap scheme type of team and running play action off of that with more two tight end sets and getting more heavy personnel on the field. So the offense is starting to find some balance. And then on defense, a group that could not stop the run for the first six or seven games of the season has all of a sudden kind of found their rhythm. And that's what happened last year. There was a Monday night game at the midway point. They were 2-6 against the Rams, and they took it to Matt Stafford and that Rams offense. And that was kind of what we saw against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Good run defense, really good coverage discipline in their zone distributions in the back end. So I think that you're kind of seeing this team click right now, and we might be in a position 4 or 5 weeks down the road where we bemoan some of these losses they had in these close games, but trying to fight their way back in right now, but they're playing their best ball of the season going into Spain.
Travis, like when you see them, the Bills is a familiar team to them. They play them twice a year. Just like Washington would be a bad team playing against Dallas or whoever else in the NFC East. How much of that played into that game against the Bills?
I think there's a lot of that because of the familiarity and continuity with, you know, McDaniel's been here for 4 years, Tua's been the quarterback here for 6 years, and the Bills obviously have McDermott and Allen there for even longer than that. So there is a bunch of familiarity in terms of how to attack this thing. But at the same time, like, Buffalo has completely owned the Dolphins. I mean, that was a seven-game winning streak that was snapped against Buffalo there playing the Miami Dolphins. So I think what the Dolphins did, and this kind of speaks to what I talked about earlier with the offensive balance, was the Bills can be run on, and the Dolphins took advantage of that with Devon Achane and a little bit of Jalen Wright in there as well. And then the play-action game worked off of that too. So I think the Dolphins, kind of out of necessity, you know, post-Tyreek Hill, have kind of shifted their offensive philosophy. And it's a better ball distribution offense that, again, runs the ball more. But you're seeing Waddle get his love as a number one receiver now. The tight ends get involved in the offense. I just kind of feel like they've found a rhythm that maybe should have been the plan from week one. And they've got a pretty good running game and a quarterback that can play off play action. They're starting to do that more now, but I think it was probably needed earlier in the season.
Achane is such a threat. I'm guessing you've watched some Commander stuff this week leading up to this game. Washington's been really bad at stopping the run. What kind of expectations do you have for the speedy running back?
Yes, I think he's going to go off. And I watching that Commander's defense on tape, those cover one, cover three principles, like watching the Lions game, those curl flat zones, those little short throws to the running back and even the quick game to the receivers was just kind of open all game long. And that's where the Dolphins make their money, especially to Devon Achane. They run that little angle screen where he'll take a route to the perimeter and then angle it back across the middle of the field and chew up a linebacker for a big play. He scored touchdowns on those plays. I've lost count how many times now, but the thing with Achane is he's starting to run the ball, again, across a more like diverse run scheme that allows him to get his outside yards on the outside zone, bread and butter, and then go back to the inside stuff with some duo, some inside zone. They run some pin and pull. They'll pull Patrick Paul and Aaron Brewer on CT counter and pull those guys in space, and he hits these little creases. And, man, he can make a guy miss in the gap, and then if you don't get a safety to fit that gap, he's going the distance. So I think when I watched the Commanders on tape, my big takeaway from the entire offense and defensive study was Devon Achane. If you have him in fantasy, put him in your lineup this week because he's going to go off for some big points, I think.
As you flip to your defense, what would be the, you know, reputation of the defense? What do they do very well?
I would say it's the way they play connected in zone coverage on the back end, which was really – it was really compromised early in the year because they were just consistently in bad down and distances because the run defense wasn't very good. They drafted Kenneth Grant in the first round, Jordan Phillips in the fifth round, and Phillips has been the better player so far, but they didn't really have the experience next to Zach Sealer to help the run defense be as good as it was last year, but they're starting to find their rhythm. And part of that is linebacker Jordan Brooks, who is leading the league in tackles right now, has been like a all-pro level linebacker this year. He's been kind of the straw that stirs the drink in the middle there. So the ability to stop the run on early downs has allowed them to get into their rush packages and their good zone defense in the back end, which is full of young players back there too. So I just think that some time on task has kind of helped them gel within that run defense and the solid zone coverage in the back end.
So can I let me ask a question here, Travis, and I mean this the right way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You sound quite optimistic just in our brief 10-minute conversation here. Talking with our friend Travis Wingfield. Check out his work at MiamiDolphins.com. You can give him a follow at Wingfield NFL. I get that the Dolphins are probably coming off the biggest win of the season, and they've won two of their last three. But you zoom out, they're 3-7. They fired there was a parting of ways with the GM, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. Are they hitting their stride, or was something just really wrong early on that has changed?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you're talking to a guy that I've picked against them for the last, I don't know, 8 weeks or so. So much okay. So that my boss this week was like, you picked the Dolphins this week. I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to believe again, because I had faith early in the year that they were going to surprise some folks with how they were going to play. But then it was kind of more of the same, man. They had the operational issues. They couldn't break the huddle. They couldn't, you know, they were force feeding the ball to Tyreek Hill, leaving other guys open down the field. And just wasn't this, it wasn't like this symbiotic relationship of run game and pass game. And ever since Tyreek left the lineup, they found that balance, and it wasn't good football early on. They had some of the same issues, but they've kind of found that fastball again with the middle of the field passing game, the running game, and then the defense just, it looks completely different. So I was bullish early in the year, and then I thought this was a team that was going to pick top three in the draft over the last, you know, first 7-8 weeks of the season. But they've played like the team I thought they had the last few weeks, especially in that Buffalo game. Like, for us, for the Dolphins to beat Buffalo, Dolphins fans know, like, that's been the giant that we have not slayed in, you know, 5 or 6 years here. So I think that they, while the 3-7 record is what it is, and they were in some of those games and lost it on last minute situations coming up small and big moments, I think that if they had found a way to stack some of those wins, confidence would have been a lot higher right now going into the stretch because they got the Commanders on Sunday, bye week, then the Saints and the Jets. I think they're going to go on a run here and get themselves back in the conversation and ultimately probably wind up like with 7 or 8 wins, which is not where you want to be because the draft pick's not very high. You're not in the playoffs. But I think it'll be a strong second half of the Dolphins after a first half that was wildly disappointing.
It's interesting. So much of it hinges on Tua. And, you know, the head injuries with Tua are so well documented and how scary that stuff is. When I watch the Dolphins, and I'm not going to pretend like I watch them all the time, but I feel like they're on national TV enough. When Tua has time in the pocket, he can carve you up. And when there's – and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but if to my eyes, it looks like when there's the slightest bit of pressure, Tua kind of caves in. And I know there's been questions about his height, seeing over the pocket, whatever it is. Am I reading that right? Like, if Washington can generate, and it's no guarantee, but if they can generate pressure on Tua, is that when the turnovers come and he starts taking sacks and things start to fall apart?
Yeah, it's why, like, when they play these bad games, they typically get throttled pretty good because they put themselves in these positions where it's constantly 3rd and 8 or longer. And to your point, like, one of Tua's strengths, and I would say he's probably as good as anybody else in football at doing this, is mitigating bad protection within the quick game. He is, you know, point and shoot, gets that ball out super quick. He was an RPO quarterback at Alabama. And when they can play on schedule and have the run game going, he's very effective at that. And then to your point, they can mix in some of those max pro, like two-man route combos where he has more time to decipher things and get the ball down the field. But when that goes out the window and they're chasing points and they're trying to, you know, they're ditching the running game and it gets 3rd and 12, this line's not built to pass protect in those situations. And to your point, he's kind of got the concrete in the shoes, right? He's not going to get off the spot and make plays outside of the pocket. But when you keep him clinging to your point and have that quick game working, very effective, deadly offense. Otherwise, it can get bad in a hurry. And you've seen that a lot. You mentioned the national TV games. That seems to happen more often than not on the national games. It's those Sunday games at 1 o'clock where he shines the most. I think folks don't get a chance to see that as much. But, yeah, your point's valid for sure.
So what happens for a Sunday game at 9:30 a.m. on the East Coast?
3:30 in Madrid, right? So it's not quite prime time there. I think the matchup does favor the Dolphins in this one. So we'll see. I have the same question because, again, the travel, the operation, it's kind of a road game environment because the fans are going to be so mixed there. That's what kind of has me a little bit like apprehensive to picking a big win. I think it'll be a close game, but I do think Miami has the advantage matchup despite all the things that kind of have worked against them in the past.
Yeah, I mean, they've got speed on the offense, and that's killed Washington for a month. So I don't know this. I know there are a ton of Dolphins fans, and the Dolphins for a really long time were this big national brand, and then kind of, you know, from a football standpoint, have fallen off a bit. Walking around, and it – anecdotal, but like Brian and I are both here. There's a ton of Burgundy and Gold fans, but maybe they're making a point of coming up to Brian and I, and we're going to Washington events. Mm-hmm. What do you think the Dolphins fan presence will be this weekend?
I think it should be pretty strong. That is one of the international markets the Dolphins are have stake in, and so they have like a whole Spain fan club of like a couple hundred members that should be at the game. I know it's not the drop in the bucket compared to the 100,000 folks that fit in that stadium, but I do think it should be pretty well represented because the Dolphins are, to your point, like Dan Marino, man. Like I talked to the president of the Dolphins fan club in Spain this weekend, or for the podcast this week, and he was talking about how like he would tune in back in the 90s and watch Dan Marino play. I know like UK fans heard him on the Armed Forces radio back in the day. So it's like this collection of fans all over the globe because of Dan Marino. So I think there should be a good presence. But, yeah, I mean, the Commander is also a national brand too, right, a pretty big brand. So I'm curious to see the split. But I do think the Dolphins will have a pretty good representation out there.
Dude, I can tell you this. When I worked – so the Redskins had a game in – was that 17B?
Which one?
When they played in London. I want to say London? It was 2017. But maybe it was 2016. Whenever it was, the Skins played the Bengals in London. And, and I swear, the jersey
the tie game?
Yeah. The jersey I saw most was Dan Marino. Like, that was 100% the jersey I saw the most. And I think, and this may be silly, and maybe a Miami person would disagree with this, I think, obviously, Marino's incredible level of play is a huge part of that. But I swear Ace Ventura was a big part of that, too.
That and the colors, right? Like it's the most unique color scheme that we have in professional sports. And I know, like, for me as a kid, like, that was kind of a big draw for me. So maybe, yeah, I think there's, you know, pop culture is a big deal, man. We're like Dan Marino's in that movie as well as Jim Carrey. And so, yeah, I think there's, you know, the undefeated team. There's a lot of lore behind the Dolphins. And when you can, you know, sustain a fan base when you go 25 years without a playoff win, something had to have happened right in the 70s and 80s to make that happen.
For sure.
Totally.
Well, so the one thing, I think a month ago, the word was Mike McDaniel's canned. He's going to be gone. Then they make the decision to part ways with Chris Greer. What is McDaniel's hold on that job? What is, perhaps more importantly, what is his hold on that team? How has the team responded to him?
It's a tricky question because I think you can, you know, this whole offseason, the whole plan was like, we're going to get the right kind of guys in the building because we had guys that just didn't really adhere to team rules and would show up to meetings late. And I know that Jalen Ramsey was a big part of that. Tyreek Hill is still here, was a big part of that. But they did get rid of pretty much most of the perceived bad apples. But then you get to the season, and again, like, it's like the same issues. Like, they couldn't get out of the huddle. They couldn't get the play clock was always up against them. They just were consistently doing the things that bad football teams do that, to me, speak to, like, management not being on top of things. But they have gotten that corrected, which is kind of what happened last year, too. And so I think what you'll see is if they can finish the season strong and get back to that same spot, which, again, Dolphins fans don't want to be there because they want the high draft pick or get in the playoffs and end that streak. But if they can show a second half that is, you know, inspiring the way it was last year, I do think that'll be enough to keep his job. But it's tough, man. Like, you can't start off 2-7 every year and expect to be a contender. So I think there's a little bit of both in there in terms of, like, him trying to kind of change his stripes. You know, it's tougher a coach to come in and show one thing and then be different because the players don't think it's authentic at that point. And I think the thing that Mike had to grow into was how he led men, right? He was always a, you know, somewhere deep in a closet, putting together game plans type of OC where he wasn't in front of the room all the time. So for him, has he learned that 4 or 5 years in? I think it's still kind of a up in the air question and hasn't been really good so far the first 4 years in, but if he can kind of put a stranglehold on that down the stretch and get back into the mix here, then maybe that changes. But I do think that it's going to have to be a lot of wins more than losses here.
How would you answer that question? Do you think he's learned that?
It's hard for me to say because I'm not part of those meetings and stuff to see it, but I do think that I think the kind of guys they have this year are just love football more. Like, this rookie class has been very productive for the Dolphins this year, and they're all guys that do it the right way. So I think it's always been a player-led group, right? I'm sure that you can speak to that in terms of player-led teams versus coach-led teams. I think that when it gets bad, that's when it gets, like, you know, it almost gets even worse because there's no real leadership and it's kind of rudderless at that point. But I think that it's somewhere in between of, like, it's a good thing for the players to have this lead, but also when things get bad, that the boat rocks even more, if you will.
Last one I wanted to ask. Waddle, obviously a super talented player. In Tyreek's absence now, Waddle has really kind of excelled. What was that relationship like? Like, were those guys cool? Has it changed a lot for them to make it work? Like, where is Jalen Waddle now in that locker room?
Yeah, he's the man. I mean, I was just talking to a friend the other day about how, you know, the A.J. Brown situation in Philly, and my friend texted me and was like, I'm so glad we have Waddle. He never complains. He's not a diva. Doesn't have those cryptic tweets that he sends out talking about God knows what. He just shows up and works, and he's electric, and he catches the ball. I mean, he's got a 40-yard catch in every game, basically, except for one since Tyreek went down. And that's kind of what I was hinting at with, you know, losing Tyreek Hill. Like, one of the biggest things that they didn't have going for them was Jalen Waddle, a guy that had 1,000 yards receiving his first 3 years, had that 1,300-yard year, his, you know, the first year of Mike McDaniel. But then it kind of became about the whole 2,000-yard pursuit for Tyreek Hill. And I think when you watch the tape with Tua, like, he was not coming off Tyreek on those reads. It was like 10 or the plays bust, and 17's on the other side of the field wide open half the time. And now he's starting to get those looks. And I think that the team, you know, transparency guys, like, Tyreek, not the most loved guy. He's kind of hard to love a little bit. Waddle is the complete opposite of that. So he's got a much better, you know, perspective from his teammates about who he is as a person and a teammate than Tyreek ever did.
Oh, wow. I know, I mean, obviously Tyreek suffered a major injury. What is his contract structure down there? Like, is he still part of that organization going forward? Do they have an out on that thing?
Yeah, there's no guaranteed money in the future, so it'd be easy to get out of that one for the team right now.
Hard to see him sticking around then, right?
Correct. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't anticipate
after that injury, and he's a speed guy.
Yeah, totally. Nah. Well, hey, Travis, we really appreciate your time, dude. Thank you for wedging us in, and sorry, but I hope your Sunday kind of sucks.
No, I appreciate it. You guys were fun. That was a good conversation, and same to you. I hope you guys lose on Sunday.
All right, dude. Travis. Take care, brother.
All right, thanks, boys.
All right, Travis Wingfield, MiamiDolphins.com. Check out his work there. You can check him out at Wingfield NFL. That dude, sharp, knew a lot of stuff about the Miami Dolphins. Should be a fun game on Sunday, man. Two teams oddly in the same boat, but yeah. What directions are those boats going? I don't know. Here's what
he
I do.
A lot of confidence.
He seemed
team
confident.
With three wins, though.
Yeah, exactly. What I do know is, it's time to open these phone lines up. You get to ask an NFL legend anything you want. It's time for Ask B. Mitch Anything. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. He particularly likes giving romance advice. Ask B. Mitch Anything.
No, I don't.
Next. Focus now shifts to wherever the hell Jeff might be. I don't know what continent he's on, frankly. But we have Jeff Walker on the line. Hello, Jeffrey. Where are you?
What up, JP? I'm in Virginia right now. I'm literally about to get dropped off to Dulles.
Okay.
All right.
And what are your travel plans?
Get on a plane and fly to Madrid.
What time are
you
flight? You
have nonstop?
Yes, I have a nonstop.
Okay. What time is your flight?
5:30.
5:30. So what is it there now?
Oh, he's got plenty of time.
Oh, you got way more than double time.
You're early. This is the first time Jeff's ever been early for anything.
Anything.
Yeah. What are you going to do with the airport?
He's early always on some other stuff.
Nah, so, you know, the government was closed, and I heard it was crazy at the airport, so I took off earlier last week so I can get in to make sure I was straight, but now everything's back open.
Okay. Right. Well, good luck at the airport. What do you got for us
today?
Did
you leave your bow gun at home? You didn't bring it? No, I'm joking.
Yes, I don't have no weapons with me.
Landfill has a question, Jeff.
Wait, so your flight's at 6, but you didn't come to work today?
Yeah, because I had to get to the airport, and I had things to do, man.
All right.
If I may, my flight was at 6 on Tuesday, and I worked.
I mean, I'll be in Dulles Airport before 6 o'clock today, and I worked.
Yeah,
international flight, got to get there early, international flight.
I was in the exact same situation. Like, my flight was at 6 on Tuesday.
Y'all not Jeff Walker.
And the government was still closed.
Hey, hold on, JP. This is also JP and Finley, and I did the correct steps to have coverage there. So I don't even know why we're talking about this. Can we introduce the song?
Sure, buddy.
Yeah, Jeff, go for that,
Fire
man.
Away.
Yeah, man. So this song is titled Creo Que Su Puede Ganar.
Huh?
And that means I believe that we can win in Spanish.
All right.
We've been getting that belt lately. And as crazy as it sounds, I believe that we can win.
Vamos sorprender el mundo en Madrid.
We're going to shock the world.
Follow me.
Creo que se puede ganar.
Creo que se puede ganar.
Creo que se puede ganar.
Y'all ready? Let's go.
Man, I hate it here. Things just not gonna wait this year. Entry bug didn't come late this year. Man, that really grind my gears. DQ call it defense now. And I hope things really turn around. It been real sad on this side of town. Waking up Sunday and getting blown out. Creo que se puedo ganar. I believe that we can win. Los defines no ganan nada. Them boys ain't winning ish. Let's take them out that water. You know I like the fish. I throw them in the grill and smoke them dolphins. Creo que se puede ganar. I believe that we can win. We could probably win out. I know it sounds crazy, but it can be done. Let's go have a good time in Madrid. Bring a win back. Knuckle up. Or as the Spanish say, ponerse manos a la obra.
And that's it, fellas.
All right. So I have some thoughts. I loved what. So let's start with this. For B and I, and we've had some audio issues this week, you know, working across an ocean. The bass popped really loud here. I assume that's not how it sounded at home, right?
It didn't sound like that on my phone.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was these microphones.
I'm going to tell if the engineer turned it down, though, a little bit.
Well, we've been working on that all week. But no, I loved like the little Spanish guitar in there. I enjoyed the premise. I enjoyed the Spanish. Did anybody like proofread what you said? Because like, let's just hope everything you said was correct.
Okay, so first off, I got to shout out my boy Rosé. He put that beat together that day. I love what he did with the guitars as well.
I liked it a lot. It was just really loud for us. I almost want to hear it like on my phone later.
I got you. I sent it to you. And, yes, I had my boy Marlon. Marlon actually speaks Spanish, so I asked him because I did say the wrong thing at first. I said it like I read it out of a textbook, and he made me, you know, he corrected me so I could say it more common and how it's said now.
Okay, good. My boy Braden just texted me, yo, Jeff's song slaps. So the people like it. That's great.
Sleep on the plane. I'm going to tell you that, Jeff, right now.
Yeah, good luck.
I don't care how you think you can roll. You don't sleep on that plane, you're going to be falling asleep.
It'll get you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sleep on the plane, and then we up 72 hours straight, B-Mitch.
All right, we're going to see.
I have a problem with your premise, Jeff.
What's up?
I like the premise. I believe that we will win. I think that's like the U.S. soccer chant. I'm good with that. I yelled about this a little earlier in the program. This is not a shock the world game. Like, we need to recalibrate people's expectations. Both teams are 3-7, and I understand Washington's been ass for a month, but like there's no rule that requires them to be ass on Sunday. They just need to win. This is not a shock the world game. If you want to say Detroit or Seattle the previous 2 weeks, okay. But I am adamant. Like, if you look at the numbers in this thing, you look at the point spread in this thing, this is not like a one-sided affair. That's all I'm saying.
So JP, I know we look at it like that because, you know, we look at it sports-wise, day-to-day. But, dog, I got verbally abused in the barbershop as soon as I walked in today. So, like, to the world, we are buns. Everyone's counting us out. Like, so, I didn't
say buns or bums?
Buns.
Buns and bums. They to the world, that's what we are. So we need to shock them because it's a lot of people that's doubting us.
A couple quick follow-ups, Jeff?
What's up?
Maybe Landfill might be best suited for this. Landfill, Jeff couldn't come to work today because he has to travel tonight and he had things to take care of, correct?
That's what I've heard.
Now, doesn't Jeff shave his head?
I believe so.
And one of the things he had to take care of was going to the barbershop?
Yeah, man. I had to go get that. See, I used the regular razor. I had to go get that straight razor to touch the beard up. I got to be sharp in Madrid. This is the first time that Madrid get a dose of Jeff. I got to be looking good.
Have you learned nothing from Brian Mitchell?
What you mean?
Get the coochie cream. You'll be all good.
Yeah, dog. You're on the wrong stuff. That coochie cream better than that straight razor.
I got my Sex Panther packed away too, so Lord. We're gonna be smiling.
I don't know that Europe's ready for Sex Panther.
You may not make it. You may get stuck in customs.
I mean this seriously. You're not bringing those weird oils you cover yourself in that stink, are you?
You said that stink.
Hey, they don't stink. That's like you know how you got deer attractant. That's like woman attractant.
Deer attractant stinks.
Deer attractant is urine.
No, I said you know how deer attractant is. It's a woman attractant. You know, that's what my oils is. Woman attractive.
I'm not so sure.
It's a perfect combination.
Okay, buddy.
Here we go. No. I need to get to this first. Guy came up to me and said, yo, man, your son going to be here? I say, my son. He said, ain't your son the DJ?
Ain't your son the DJ?
I say, Jeff? He said, yeah. I say, Jeff ain't my damn son. He said, well, he told me he was your son. You telling people you my son?
Uh-oh.
Hell no.
But a man told me that you said, and he said, Jeff going to be doing some shows. I said, Jeff ain't doing no damn shows around here.
On Helen Walker, that's my grandmother. I would never say Brian Mitchell, my dad. You,
I don't look that ugly. One.
And can two, I have
Jeff,
one?
Jeff, if you ever can have the flavor I have food, if you have, if you can have 10% of the flavor I have, you might be all right.
I could see Jeff. I could see Jeff in his effort to get into a certain suite or a certain area he's not supposed to. Be like, yeah, I'm beating your son. Like, you don't mean it, but you're just saying it.
Like Brian Mitchell Cousins.
It means to an end.
I carry too much pride in my name. I built my name on good character for 31 years. I ain't saying that nobody kid. I'm Jeffrey Maurice Walker Jr., fellas.
Lanfield, do you have any comment on Jeff has built his name on character for 31 years?
There's a lot of wild stuff going on. I just think you guys, if you start now, you can probably apologize to all of Madrid for what Jeff's about to do to him.
I do have an idea, though. Unfortunately, Brian and I, our suitcases are just completely full. There's no room in the inn. But Lanfield has repeatedly asked for us to bring him back a leg of jamón ibérico. Maybe Jeff is your guy. Jeff, will you bring Lanfield back a leg of ham?
Hey, if they let me get on the plane with it, I don't care. We can share that ham in the studio on Tuesday.
Lanfield, do you care to share ham with Jeff?
I'm all in.
All right, Jeff. Safe travels. Hit us up when you get here, dude.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, buddy.
Let's go. Drink. Hey, y'all. If y'all in Madrid, meet us. Drinks on B.
I'm in on that.
That's why people think he's my son. I will not be around Jay. Believe that.
All right, Jeff. Safe travels, dude. We'll see you soon.
Jeff's a damn fool is what he is.
Just a capital F.
Extra money for me. That's how I've looked at it today.
The song was good. Yeah, our guy Ben Strober got some extra hours. We're going to make some picks. We'll let Benny make one. What is his name? Little Benny Top? Is that what he prefers? Plus White Brian. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.